talked about. So, for example, the electoral program of Israel's governing party, Likud, states explicitly that there can never be a Palestinian state west of the Jordan River. And they not only state it in their charter, that's a call for the destruction of Palestine, explicit call for it. And they not only have it in their charter, you know, their electoral program, but they implement it. That's quite different from the Hamas charter.
MIT professor Noam Chomsky, world-renowned linguist, political dissident. He's written more than 100 books, among his latest, Gaza in Crisis. I interviewed him on Thursday amidst the initial 72-hour ceasefire in Gaza. This hour was part two of our conversation. If you missed part one, go to democracynow.org. You can also get a DVD of the full interview at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Sarah Mokhtar, Nirmeet Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Daniel Begin, Anna Ozbeck, Messiah Rhodes, Sam Riddell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Elizabeth Press, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grand, Jessica Lee, John Wallach, and Vesta Godars. And to our camera crew, John Randolph, Karen Craig-Meadows, Carlo DeJesus, and Phil Raymond. I'm Amy Goodman. Our website is democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is more talk radio with our hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today's guests are Constantine Sevier, director of the Portland Auditor's Independent Police Review, Rodney Paris, Citizens Review Committee Chair, and Mae Wilson, a CRC member. We'll talk about Portland's upcoming Race Talk Forum on Community Policing.
When I approach Newport, Rhode Island,
KBOO and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present one of the great concert films of all time, Jazz on a Summer's Day, a documentary of the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival. Jazz on a Summer's Day captures the music, the crowd, and the essence of such jazz greats as Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Jerry Mulligan, and Anita O'Day. Jazz on a Summer's Day, Thursday, August 14, 7 p.m., at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Old rocking chair's got me.
Old rocking chair got your father.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Willamette Speaks, Stories of the Lower Willamette River, on Saturday, August 23rd, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the BES Water Lab, 6543 North Burlington in North Portland. This storytelling event will feature the Grand Ronde Tribe's history of the river, as well as drumming by tribal members. Raconteur Roger Wendlick will offer a description of Lewis and Clark's first impressions of the Lower Willamette, and Sean Morgan will describe experiences living aboard a sailboat at Willamette Cove. The Willamette River Superfund Community Advisory will be on hand to offer updates, information, and opportunities for community feedback. Again, that's The Willamette Speaks, Stories of the Lower Willamette River, Saturday, August 23rd, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the BES Water Lab. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. Today is Monday, August 11th, 2014, and you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM in Corvallis, that's 104.3, in Hood River, that's 91.9, in Portland is 90.7, and on the web, it is kboo.fm. My name is Cecil Prescott, and I am here with my co-host Celeste Carey. Let me give you our contact number so you may call and share your questions and thoughts. You may contact us here at 503-231-8187, or you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. This morning we have with us Constantine Sevier, director of the Portland Auditor's Independent Police Review, and the Citizens Review Committee Chair, Rodney Page.
Page.
Ooh. Okay, excuse me,
Flashback
Rodney Page. Rodney Paris.
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning.
So we're here to discuss the city's auditor, independent police review division, its responsibilities and duties, the volunteer body of the Citizen Review Committee, and some upcoming events that you should be aware of. Joining us also is Mae Wilson, who is a member of the Citizen Review Committee. So thank you all for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Also, we're going to discuss to a degree with the forum's people's satisfaction, what they perceive with how both the police have interacted with the public and the Citizen Review Committee's response to their commentary and what have you, correct?
Sure.
All right. Great.
So maybe we should begin at the very first point. What is the Independent Police Review and the Citizen Review Committee, its missions and goals?
Sure. I'll start off. This is Constantine, and I'm the director of the Independent Police Review. As you folks have said, we're part of the City Auditor's Office. IPR's main mission and task is to take community member complaints and commendations about the actions of Portland police officers. We monitor investigations, and if there is an officer-involved shooting, we respond to the scene and monitor that investigation. We're also able to do independent investigations. We'll basically start our own investigations based on allegations or complaints that we receive from community members or based on issues that we've noticed in the community. So, and also we have the ability to do reviews of the Portland Police Bureau. So our office is doing a review of the way the Portland Police interacts with the hip hop community. Combination with like the entertainment industry and that kind of thing. So the CRC is an advisory body to the Independent Police Review. They also have the ability to make recommendations directly to our office as well as to the Chief of Police. And I think one of the most important tasks of the CRC is to hear appeals of investigated complaints.
And let's turn to the CRC members. Rodney, you are the chair of CRC currently?
Correct,
chair. Tell us about how you became involved. Why did you choose to apply and participate?
And what do you bring to the CRC as well?
So I joined the CRC getting close to 2.5 years ago. I've only been the chair for 4 or 5 months. So why did I join the CRC? I think as a citizen of Portland, you know, I have an interest in seeing that the police bureau functions how we want it to function. You know, I think it's important to have the processes that we have a group of citizens to help be involved in that process, to hear complaints and commendations about the bureau, both from citizens and from police officers. So we serve a very important function to have that voice of the citizen, the regular person, to hear those complaints. Make policy recommendations to IPR or to the Bureau, as Constantine said. So what I bring, I have a background doing internal investigations. I am an attorney. So I had some skills that I could bring to the Citizen Review Committee. I'm native Oregonian. I've lived around Portland in Portland for a long time. I've had a lot of interactions with the police, and so I think it was just a good experience for me. I had the time, I had the interest, the passion around that topic. It's really been a good learning experience for me, and I think I've been able to hopefully bring a lot to the committee as well.
Mm-hmm. And Mae, welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. How did you become interested in becoming a member of the CRC, and what was your expectations? And
I became interested through attending a race talks at the Kennedy School, mm-hmm. and I saw the application and began to do some investigation. And similar to Rodney, as an interested citizen, I thought it was a great way to begin to kind of bridge, I feel like, the you know, there's a lot of policies and ways and practices at the police work that are just not understood well by the citizenry. So I thought it was a great way to kind of be that gap in between making those recommendations, but also almost translating how the police works. And so far, it's been a very interesting adventure. I think I've learned a lot. I think that you know, I've seen ways that a lot of intersections come in, and it's, you know, the IPR and the CRC are really navigating a whole lot of interest in terms of trying to find that very precarious balance and making sure that the rights of the citizens are being heard, that the police officers and the complexities of their jobs are being explored and respected, and finding that, I guess, healthy balance of how do we continue to learn and hold ourselves accountable while also just navigate some pretty intense complexities.
And what do you bring, your background?
So my background is in social work. I've worked predominantly with youth and been in Portland for the last 10 years. And I've worked for Cascadia and New Avenues for Youth and a lot of different places where I feel like there's a lot of police interactions.
One of the things that you mentioned, May, is learning more about how the police interact, the community interacts with the police, and other things. What would you say is the most profound lesson you've learned from being on a CRC?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That question.
Yes. You know, I would say many often I'm still learning many different things.
And
I
that's think understood. That it's not as though you have learned the lesson,
no,
or you have accomplished everything. But everything we understand, everything's going to be a learning experience. Mm-hmm. But being in social work and being in Portland and being on the CRC,
yes,
and having attended the race talks, that put together, as you said, some fertile intersectionality. Mm-hmm. So I'm really just curious,
wow,
you're next.
Yeah.
No, this is just getting really deep.
Well, you know, because this is a really critical issue here, mm-hmm, in Portland, and there are so many things that people assume when they hear about the liberality of the, mm-hmm, city, or if some of the past dynamics with the police force have been remembered, mm-hmm, and people are trying to process new ways to interact and better ways to interact.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially given your age, you know, given where you work and how you work with people, and we'll throw race in the mix and, mm-hmm, gender too, you know, this, I think, is really important to people here. What are the real issues that you deal with so that they understand that there are people who come to the table with a measure of sincerity?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, the learning a lot about how police are trained and how police are, you know, the culture of the police force. And by that, what I mean is, you know, there is a way they need to learn to have very quick reflexes and instincts. And I think a lot of those ways that they can be trained can be counterintuitive or not necessarily productive to a citizen feeling like they are, you know, being treated with respect and being seen and holistically as the human being that they are. And I think that's complicated. I think, you know, as a citizen, I respect the need for the police, and I see them as having a very important role in our society, and I see how hard and unpredictable their jobs are. And I also see, particularly, you know, in Portland with the history and the different communities that I've been able to get to know and work with, that there has been a long history of feeling very disrespected by the police. And I think that, you know, if to go back to my most profound learning, I think one of the things that I found in the CRC is I think that experience of having many different, for lack of a better word, forces come together around a particular issue. I think that, you know, we're dealing with legality. We're dealing with, you know, protection of the citizenry. We're talking about citizen rights. We're talking about kind of all those intersectionalities that you mentioned. And what I think is great about the CRC is they all kind of can come together all in one space and begin to be navigated, which doesn't happen if you're having that interaction at night, you know, on the street with the police. It doesn't right. happen even if you're going and trying to get your police file from the police. You know, it doesn't happen if you're talking to your community without the police there. You know, it's there's so many ways that these conversations can happen in isolation. And I think one of the ways that the CRC is striving to get to this place is to have, you know, people from the city, people from the police office, you know, lawyers, officers, citizens, you know, the training bureau, you know, just really trying to get that really difficult understanding of everything that's involved. And it's messy. It's certainly not a clean, you know, I don't think there's many meetings where we're kind of like, oh, and now it's all solved. I don't think I've ever had that experience, actually. But I do think that what I've come to respect is the dedication of everyone who shows up and continually, time and time again, is willing to navigate that gray and oftentimes leave with, that was hard and we don't have any solutions, but we're still trying to work towards getting there. And that's, I guess, what I have respect is for the process.
Okay. And it sounds like the ongoing dialogue. So we're going to bridge right on over to you, Constantine, and to kind of get your take on that, understanding that you've been with the process for a while in different roles, and you bring your own unique brand of perspective. What would you say is a profound lesson that you've learned?
As you said, I've played a role in the criminal justice system in different ways. I was a former criminal defense attorney. I've been with IPR for almost 6 years now. I am an African-American. I'm first-generation American. I'm a Haitian-American. So I bring all that to what I do. I guess, you know, not to sound kumbaya-ish, but, you know, one of the really most important things about us getting a police oversight structure or getting a police bureau that we as Portlanders want and deserve is, you know, people being treated with respect. And most of the complaints that IPR gets is based on someone feeling disrespected. And sometimes it's a perspective issue, sometimes it's a officer training issue, whatever that is. But just thinking about the work that the CRC does, particularly on the appeals, almost every appeal that they've heard in the last year I can think of either was involved someone who felt that they were disrespected because of a racial issue, or there was some sort of mental health component as well. And you know, just kind of bridging those two areas in our society, particularly in Portland, where, as you say, people really like trumpeting Portland's progressive values, and you know, that's, you know, I don't think as a city, and even as a city employee, I don't think we're very progressive if we could just say, well, you know, Portland's a pretty progressive place if you live close to any side and you're a middle income college graduate.
With all these qualifiers.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, if you go to the right coffee shops and you ride the right kind of bike or whatever, I think being progressive means that everybody gets to share in on, you know, just all the progress that Portland has made in the last decade and a half. And particularly when it comes to the police bureau, one of the ways for the police bureau to make progress is for community members to actually participate, not just when there is a bad situation and everybody wants to be there, but kind of doing that hard work of, particularly at least when it comes to CRC members, you know, their monthly meetings, or they have different work groups. They have a deadly force work group. They have a crowd control work group that meet on a regular basis, where you don't have to be a CRC member to participate in those. And, you know, one of the reasons that we try to do these recruitments on a regular basis is so we can have a diverse group of folks sitting on the CRC. Not that long ago, most of the CRC members were folks who are retired and appreciate the folks that the work that our retired folks did on the CRC. But having a CRC that looks a little bit more like a community, I think we'll end up with a better kind of product that the CRC does.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. Our guests today are Constantine Sevier, the director of the Portland's Auditor Independent Police Review, and Citizen Review Committee members Rodney Paris and Mae Wilson. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call if you have a question or concern about this, about policing in our community, and your response to it. Let's go to Lori. Good morning, Lori. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I wanted to ask about a person's rights and the policeman's rights, because I was always raised on stop or I'll shoot, that if a policeman gave you a directive and you resisted, that you had completely lost your rights then. And you keep talking about for police to respect the individual. I was thinking we were also supposed to respect the police. So what are my rights? When I take a look at some of these cases, they're trying to physically beat the policeman, or fight or resist, or running away or something. I thought you lost your rights if you did that.
So who wants to respond in terms of perspectives and in terms of encounters?
So, this is part of police training. Obviously, I'm not a police officer and I'm not a member of the Portland Police Bureau, but as somebody who's reviewed the police bureau's policies and, you know, just kind of has a understanding of constitutional law, when you have an interaction with a police officer, you know, your constitutional rights do not go out the window. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously the police have a very difficult job and they have a right to be able to go home at the end of the day when they're serving the public. So when an officer uses force, there has to be a justification for that based on, you know, kind of just basic constitutional principles of that everybody has the right to, you know, be safe in their persons and property. So the police bureau has a number of policies, particularly around force, that I'm not going to get into because it's very very long and complicated. But just to answer the person's question, you do not give up your rights when you're having that contact with a Portland police officer. And, you know, I think I'm just trying to think of it in the context of a CRC, let's say, appeal, or, you know, that intersection of, you know, what the police officer understands their rules are, and versus the community members' understanding of what their rights or constitutional rights are. And sometimes that's, you know, kind of one of those reasons for kind of the dissonance sometimes, because people have an understanding of what their rights are, and there's kind of a gap between the community member and the police officer.
So I heard, and I'm projecting something in our caller's comment, because I heard her coming from the perspective of the police is there, and if you're still there, correct me if I'm wrong, and you owe them a certain amount of respect. For some community members, the police is not necessarily seen as a welcoming force, mm-hmm. or as and as seen as a threat. So their perspective might be different from Lori's in terms of interaction with police.
Yeah, I mean, you know, officers are trained to deal with difficult people. You know, a lot of times with the cases that the CRC deals with, you know, there is a community member for whatever reason, they're having an interaction with the police officer, and the community member has their own kind of issues that they're bringing to the table. But at the same time, it's incumbent on the police officer to make sure that person is treated with respect, and if force has to be used, that is a force that they can justify and that they can articulate within the Portland Police Bureau's policies as well as constitutional law as well.
So let me, if the police stop me and on the street, do I have the right to say if I'm, am I being detained? And if they say no, can I just walk away?
Well, you know, I really don't want to get into hypotheticals because it's kind of, because each, it's like one of those
case by,
yeah, exactly. It's a case by case analysis. And I, you know, I don't want to give somebody the false impression. It's like, well, you know, I was talking to this officer and Constantine said, I can go. Mm-hmm. I heard him on KBOO. He said he worked for the city.
But okay, I mean, just in terms, you mentioned we don't give up our constitutional rights.
No.
What are our constitutional rights? And May and Rodney, you can...
You have the right to be free from illegal search and seizure. You have the right to not have force used against you that would be inappropriate under the Constitution. But there are situations where you are not free to go. No. There are situations where you may be. It's very fact-dependent on the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it really...
I'm not a constitutional lawyer.
I'm not a constitutional scholar as well.
Well, let me see if I can open this and unpack it a little bit. Some of the things wherein you might not be free to leave might be if you're being detained because of a person-to-person crime, for example. And a person-to-person crime is also known as a Part 1 crime, which might mean you might have assaulted someone, or it's suspected, or, and I'm about to open up the scary can of worms here, you might fit the description. And so that might be one of the situations in which you may not just be free to go. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to play devil's advocate on that, because I know people are concerned both about safety and of themselves and the citizens and safety of the officers. So what should a person expect when they're stopped? And how can they speak up with safety if they feel that the situation is not, if they're not safe?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, one thing, I would just encourage as a community member, as just somebody who lives in Portland, is that, you know, if you feel you're in a situation that is unsafe, you know, you're having an encounter with a police officer, you know, ask that police officer for his business card. It's part of the police bureau's directives that community members should receive a business card from the police bureau. Don't do anything that might cause the situation to escalate, just because you know sometimes you can't control other people, but you can control yourself. And then, you know, if you feel that, you know, this situation was unacceptable, whatever it was, give us a call at IPR and let us know about it. And particularly if you gotten the business card, or even if you haven't, we have ways of being able to figure out who the officer was that had an encounter with you. Just talking from my own personal experience, when I was in law school, I happened to be inside of a Kinko's. This is a while ago, where I left a Kinko's and I opened the door and there's this police officer with a gun in my face saying, you know, I need you to put your hands up. Somebody just robbed this place, and I just felt pretty humiliated. There's people walking by and, you know, they're just seeing this black guy with his arms up, and, you know, it kind of fit every kind of stereotype that I wanted to kind of avoid and felt like I was shaming my family, and I was the first person in my family to go to law school, and it's like, it's not even the first day of law school, I'm already having my hands up. And, you know, this was in Portland, this was in Nashville, where I went to law school, and I felt so helpless, and I remember at the end of the encounter, officers like, well, you know, sorry, somebody tripped the silent alarm or whatever, and it's nothing personal. And I felt so humiliated, and I didn't even think, and I was relatively educated, well educated at the time, didn't even think about filing a complaint. I just didn't believe that, you know, nobody would listen to me. Why would anybody listen to me? So I want anybody who kind of feels in that situation, and that's kind of one of the reasons I kind of bring my passion for this work, is that I want to make sure that people in this city feel that if there is some sort of interaction where they feel that they have been disrespected, that they have an issue, or if they want to say something nice about a police officer, that our office, that's separate from the police bureau, is there to listen to concerns. And if a community member has an issue with the way we handled the complaint, or the police bureau as a general in general handled the complaint, they have a board of community members that aren't city employees, who are decent people who work really hard in their professional lives, come to meetings, spend at least 20 hours a month. The CRC members who are able to kind of listen to the case as an appeal. So, we have a lot of process in our system and a lot of people with good faith. But I think one of the gaps is that a lot of people aren't aware of all the different things that we have and just how much work that CRC members put into doing these cases.
Well, it is stereo. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city. This is an opportunity to join in the conversation, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Malia.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Malia, and I just wanted to make a comment on this conversation. I'm a 62-year-old white person who lives in Lake Oswego, and I have come to the point in my life that I never, never thought I'd be at, where I don't think I can ever build up trust for law enforcement again. I've never had anything, you know, dramatic happen to me, but witnessing things that have happened over the last, say, 7-10 years here in Portland, and then having a few minor incidents myself that really I hardly complained about because I never had the faith that they would be handled appropriately. But I've been bullied by policemen who were just sitting on the sidewalk in Northwest Portland when really nothing was wrong at all. And I've had situations where it's eroded my belief and my trust that I actually see the Portland police and other police bureaus as well as bullies who know that they will get away with anything, and they're, you know, the tolerance you know, within the police bureau, it seems, is very, very high, much higher than I and many of my friends would like to see as far as getting away with abusive behavior.
May or Rodney, you want to
respond? I can talk about that. So I understand, we hear that from citizens a lot, that they don't feel that, you know, filing a complaint or talking to IPR or the CRC will get them anywhere. But I can guarantee if they don't, that guarantee nothing is going to happen. So if you do come and talk to us, you know, we do hear, IPR hears a lot of complaints. We deal with them professionally. They're fully investigated. If the citizen's not happy with that outcome, they can come and appeal to the CRC. And often we'll disagree with the city, with the Bureau's finding or IPR's finding in those cases, and send it back for more investigation or for recommend changes to those findings. So there is an avenue to make your voice heard if you see something you don't like, either happening to someone else or to yourself. I understand there's people in certain communities especially that have a history of not trusting that the city will have oversight in that situation, but I can tell you it happens every day. You know, I've seen many cases where appropriate discipline has been given out. And so I can just say that I encourage you to come forward if you see something. You know, the city would like to hear about it. Our committee would like to hear about it. You know, we can also make policy recommendations if we see a consistent pattern of something happening. We can and do make recommendations directly to IPR or to the Bureau of things that need to be changed, additional training, different policies, and that happens all the time. So I would just encourage you to come forward.
Well, that's a very, very positive response, and at one point in time, I think I would have embraced it. But with the history of the abuse and murders of mentally ill people, and even with trials and how police officers, even the most recent thing with the mayor lying, you know, it really sends a very strong message to a lot of people. I have a lot of friends who are nurses. I mean, I'm a professional person, and there's a lot of people, a lot of my own peers, you know, in my age group who feel the same way and say the same thing as me. And I think when you have such a large amount of people who really have lost faith, that your answer, as lovely as it might seem, is not really reflecting, you know, the truth about the deliverance of appropriate, you know, discipline to police. One of the incidents I had as of recent was I was parking in Northwest Portland, right on Northwest 21st. And I was going into the Laughing Planet to get a meal. And as I'm parking, there's two police officers on the sidewalk. And no one said anything. They didn't get up. But as I get out of my car, I'm walking away. One of them, in a very nasty tone, said, you ram that car. And it just kind of escalated. I went and I looked, and I said, I don't see anything. And he started arguing with me. And I said, well, why don't you look for yourself? He wouldn't even get up and look. And I thought, gosh, you know, this is all about bullying. And it really was. He never really expressed any interest in seeing. He just called me on it and started an argument. And I just felt very angry and just disgusted. Because if his intent was truly one that would have been, you know, to address something that happened, he would have gotten more involved by looking. But I do think that by not delivering a strong statement to those who, experience incidents as minor as that and bigger ones, that it increases the tolerance in the police for unprofessional behavior. And it's so hard Malia, to turn this Malia, around.
Malia, can you hold on for a minute? We got May here who would love to comment with you and have a little dialogue too.
Yeah, and thank you, Malia. I think what you're articulating is a very personal experience that I think a lot of citizens can feel. And I think, if I may use Constantine's example of when he was at the Kinko's, I think what's hard a lot about this is there's the emotions and there's the immediate moment. And oftentimes citizens in that immediate moment are gonna leave either feeling disempowered, humiliated, a barrage of just negative emotions. And I think what's hard about the CRC is there's the immediate moment and then there's kind of the long haul marathon that we're engaged in, which is the policy work. You know, when you talk about what you're describing is a history and a culture and a kind of a bigger system at play that's been in operation for many, many years. And so to make an impact on it, you can't boil it down to just single interactions. You've got to find the themes and really try to change the policies to make an impact on the system across the system. And that's hard, because that isn't, it's slow and it's moving. And, you know, the intensity of those emotional responses you have in that one moment, you're not going to have that same intensity or of gratitude or satisfaction in accomplishing some big policy or systemic change. You know, it's going to feel more disempowering than it does less. And I think that's what's hard is, you know, when Rodney says, come in and talk to us, the more people talk to us, the more power we're able to have to make those policy changes. And I completely understand that it's still hard because you'll probably leave a CRC meeting, maybe possibly still feeling disempowered. And it's about almost like an act of faith and trusting that if enough people engage in that and take that extra step, that it can make the broader impact that we're looking for.
Malia, we have another call in line, and I certainly think we heard your concerns. And if you wanted to conclude in, say, 30 seconds, that will be fine.
Okay, thank you. Yes, and I just needed to say that basic personality traits, sense as decency, respect, the very things that you talked about before, are not a common practice in interacting, such as the little incident I had. It could have been played out much differently as to educate instead of to bully. And, I clearly have crossed the line. You know, it's going to be hard to win a lot of people's trust back with the Portland Police. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Malia. And this might be a good
time
moment now
forum.
To talk about the community forum.
Yes.
Who wants to share?
Who wants to promote the forum is coming up?
So the CRC, in conjunction with Race Talks and IPR, has had one forum last week ended up being at CIO. It was supposed to be at Jefferson High School. And we'll have one on Tuesday. Doors open at 6. The event starts at 7 at Kennedy McMinniman School.
On Northeast 33rd.
Northeast 33rd, just north of Killingsworth. And it's an opportunity for people to talk about community policing and how they feel the police have engaged with them as a community member. And then particularly since the CRC is participating as well in this, just to see CRC's role in trying to make sure that the city, the police bureau, is listening to the community members and trying to reflect back on what they hear during this community forum and maybe making some policy changes, because we've CRC, one of CRC's regular obligations is to have community forums on a regular basis, and there's been different forums that the CRC has held in, you know, just kind of on garden variety type issues, and they've kind of taken back the feedback that they've gotten from that, either started different work groups, put out policy positions. So these, you know, what people say at these forums, and you know, the kind of the feedback that they give to the CRC is really important.
And perhaps Rodney or May, you can tell citizens about the how to contact CRC if they have a concern or complaint, or even to seek to be a member of the board.
So the best way to do that is to contact the Independent Police Review Division. You have the phone number, Constantine?
It's 503-823-0146.
For both information about filing complaints or commendations about the police, you contact IPR, or for information about applying to be on the CRC, which we do have an ongoing recruitment right now. We are looking for City of Portland citizens who are interested in this to apply to be on the CRC. It's a great learning opportunity, a great way to get involved with the city, and if you see things, you can actually take action. So being on the committee is great. I recommend anyone out there, especially people from, you know, all walks of life, diverse communities, men and women, professional people, all sorts of people. We'd love to get more diversity on our committee at all times. And
Exactly. Particularly, you know, I think right now we have about 5 attorneys on the CRC. You know, being an attorney as myself, I love attorneys, but I think we have enough attorneys. So I would love just, you know, just people from a different
ordinary
walk.
People, or just a different walk of life.
Yeah, I mean, because yeah, because right. You know, attorneys are pretty ordinary in my experience.
yeah. So I concur with that.
So you know, it just would be great if we could, and particularly women as well. And I understand just the way our society is; it's unfair to women where work a full time, and then when they go back home, they have obligations with household, and so that's a lot of the response that we've heard from particularly younger women on why they're not interested in being the CRC, and we definitely understand.
As well as child care.
Child care, exactly. So, but, you know, just as Rodney was saying, that we want to have, you know, kind of the full gamut of Portland's community, and we can't have that full gamut without women. So let
me ask in terms of the makeup of the committee, and you mentioned the need for more women. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, and you mentioned there's 5 attorneys. So CRC has a certain culture. And I'm wondering, is it more difficult, and May, you come from a social work background, is it difficult for people not familiar with the culture of CRC to participate? Is there a steep learning curve? Is it as accessible to people with less education than
coming from different cultures or nationalities?
I think there is, you know, some aspects of what you're just saying that really kind of hit home, because there is kind of like that, you know, like when you're opening a business, they talk about barriers to entry.
Yes.
So, you know, to be on the CRC and to be kind of a fully functioning member, you need to be able to understand, at least at a basic level, about what the Portland Police Bureau does, the rules, the directives that govern the police bureau, and also understand IPR's complaint process. So that involves a lot of reading, a lot of looking at city code. And I think it draws a lot of people who like looking at stuff like that, like attorneys, like people in social work who are used to kind of dealing with multiple facets, or business folks. That's kind of the main component of people that we've had historically on CRC. That said, you know, a lot of the rules that we have and the directives, they're things that require a lot of thought and reflection on, but they're not super complex, the basic concepts of them. And I come from a background of a very blue collar background, and you know, my mom didn't have more than a high school education. My mom could do this, and she's a very intelligent woman. English isn't her native language. We've had CRC members who English isn't their native language either. So I, you know, particularly folks from an immigrant background as well, as just somebody, you know, just somebody who's an immigrant, and that's not something that we had historically on the CRC very much. So that's another part of our community that would be great if we could have on the CRC.
Okay. Well, we want to get back to our listeners.
And our caller.
And our callers.
Yes.
So let's go to our next caller.
Thank you for holding. Good morning. You're on the air.
Michael.
Good morning, Michael.
Can you hear me? All
right. Yes.
First of all, I want to start at when you guys talk about your community involvement, you're not talking about the media. And I want to bring that up because whenever there's any police involvement with citizens, the media always frame the dialogue, call it gang violence or gang related. Anyway, they always frame the dialogue. And so I don't know how you can have an effective citizen review if you don't bring the media into play.
Well, also, hold that thought. Let them answer that because that's a very good question.
That is a really good question. I probably won't have a very satisfactory answer for you, Michael, so I'm going to apologize up front. But, you know, one of our things at IPR, we try to educate everybody, including members of the media, and there are some folks in the media who do a better job of it than others. But, you know, as we are a governmental agency, we can't really step on the media and the press. They have their rights. They have their First Amendment rights as well. But I think it's incumbent on us as a governmental agency to just do that outreach, for lack of a better word, to folks in the media to let them know, okay, these are the issues. And because I think historically we haven't done as much of an outreach towards the media. Particularly whenever we read something and it's like inaccurate or whatever, just like, oh, well, you know, we have other things to do besides kind of act as an editor for different media organizations. But, it's important that, community members, when they look at stuff, that talks about either police stuff or IPR stuff or the CRC, and particularly for IPR and CRC, a lot of the stuff that we do is on our website, on the city auditor's website, the IPR portion of it, where you can look at that stuff yourself. And, you don't have to rely on a filter or somebody kind of translating the news for you, because everything that we do, the CRC meetings, the minutes, everything is on our website. If you want to listen to CRC meeting, an actual meeting, you can listen to that. If you go directly to our website, we have a Twitter page where we try to update different things that the CRC or IPR is doing. So one of the things that we've tried to do is make sure that we, at least have a control over some part of the narrative. The media has its role to do, to play in this, but folks, as a community member, you just need to make sure that you're making sure that you're educating yourself on that and not relying on anybody, not on me, not on any particular media organization that you read or listen to, but just make sure you educate yourself
and as a media consumer, hold them accountable. One of the things that I found in working with the media is we already know that they're going to look for the hook. So bleed and lead is still predominant attitude, but you can hold them accountable. And if you find that there's more power in a group than a group which says something is just as important. But letters to the editor, letters to the paper, are really important because they're not going to change if they feel that they can continue with the status quo.
And
I got another point. As gentrification have changed things in Northeast Portland, that means that the people that have suffered the most at the hands of the police have now dispersed. Like, I live in Clackamas County myself, and there's no citizen review committee out here. So as gentrification changes things, personally, I want to ask, don't you see the need to expand to other areas like Clackamas, out in Gresham, and areas like that, because black people now, which historically is the ones that suffers the most at the hands of the police, are now no longer all in Portland. And one last question.
Well, we got another caller backed up, and you've asked another good question. So let's get that one off. And then thank you, Michael, because I want to get to the next person, too. But You know, and I even kind of know the answer to that. It's a different jurisdiction.
Yeah, but it is a good question.
Yeah, it is a great question, and it speaks for more citizen involvement.
I mean, that is a great question. In the, you know, Portland and Eugene are basically the only cities in this in the state of Oregon that have some sort of community role like the CRC, or even have an outside entity outside of their police department. But you know, for Portland to have an IPR CRC, that took 20 years of constant effort from basically the early 80s to about 2001, just constant community vigilance, agitating in the best sense of that word to get that done. So folks who live in different jurisdictions around the metro area, you know, that is something, you know, that is a struggle that is important. I believe in community outside oversight of different police departments, but that's something that if you live in another jurisdiction that you need to take up the fight and do that for yourself. That said, that is, you know, the point about gentrification is really interesting. At IPR, we're working on this mapping project of being able to put on our website and show people where complaints are actually happening. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have a beta version that's not available to the public yet, but I just was able to see it last week. And it was really interesting to see parts of town that have community complaints and don't. I mean, just like kind of if you think about the kind of old northeast Portland. You know, I used to live on 15th and Prescott, and you know, there aren't a lot of those complaints in that neck of the woods anymore. It's just it's just really interesting. And as our city changes, and there are people who still have ties to Portland but don't actually live in Portland, how do we kind of engage with that? Because I know that's something that the police bureau is handling as well.
Well, and two really quick points to take away, Mike. One is, take advantage of the mapping when it is available, and there's different city entities and state entities that might also take advantage of this mapping so you can see. And that's a good point of reference when you do contact the law enforcement where you are. The other thing is look for the advocate groups that operate without geographical borders. You know, you've got your Center for Intercultural Organizing, you've got Urban League, you know, you've got other groups that work in terms of advocacy to help address these kinds of issues, who don't have to worry about jurisdictional borders. They operate where their constituency lives, where their target group lives. And so that's another way to kind of bring some organized pressure to bear. But we do have another caller on board. Good morning, Leslie. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to address the first caller. The job of police is to apprehend people suspected of committing crimes. They aren't supposed to administer punishment. And even if a person is allegedly resisting arrest or runs, that doesn't give the police a right to give the person a beat down. It does not work that way. That's illegal. And there are a lot of reasons why people could be perceived as resisting. For example, I'm hearing more and more reports of people with Alzheimer's being tasered, beaten, and shot. People with epilepsy. I mean, there are a lot of physical ailments that look like acting out. You could get it from someone with diabetes or Tourette syndrome. Even someone who's just hard of hearing could look like they're resisting arrest because they don't understand what's going on. And a lot of times people also think that these populations is someone who's high or drunk, who's maybe having an epileptic seizure, or who has Tourette syndrome. Even if someone's high or drunk, they still have rights. They still don't deserve to be beaten down. It's not cops' job to deliver public punishment, beating on people, tasering them, and shooting them simply because they run or they might talk back.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Comments?
I would just say that what she mentions with people with physical ailments that might cause some issues. I mean, we have seen situations like that in some of our complaints where people may not have the mobility, people may have mental illness issues or other issues that makes it more difficult for them to comply with a police order. or that causes some conflict. You know, quite a, I'd say a decent percentage of our complaints that we hear involve people that have mental illness. And so, you know, there are efforts undergoing in the city, in the Bureau, to train police officers to work better with people with mental illness. Obviously, we've had the Department of Justice here looking at that issue. And it's something that comes up quite often in our work, and I think it's something we could definitely get a lot better at as a city.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. And we'll go to...
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Okay, here in just a second. Just for the sake of brevity, don't get offended here, but I think that the woman who was speaking, Malia, had a very good point that she didn't articulate here. So one of the problems is we need to hire people that have a three-digit IQ and linguistic skills. That officer initiated a conflict that was going to do nothing but escalate because he did not talk to her with respect and demeaned her and tried to bully her. And until that, it becomes part of it, yeah. Hiring process, and it's the CLC to make that recommendation. We're going to
get okay. We're having difficulty hearing you, but I think we got most of what you're saying.
Yeah, the gist of your call.
I hope you're not driving and speaking at the same time.
So essentially, he's saying hire people who are smart and bring a skill set and desire to engage respectfully and competently with the public.
Yeah.
May?
And I was going to say, so we have, as mentioned before, we have different work groups, and one of the work groups that we have is a hiring and promotion work group that's looking at, you know, what are the hiring practices of the police, who's being hired, who's being promoted, and how are people kind of being, how are certain behaviors being identified and prioritized over others. Unfortunately, that work group has been a little bit on hold due to some transitions of members, but... You know, I think those are very important issues, and I think that, you know, finding people with the right dispositions that can handle high-stress situations but also know how to still be able to de-escalate, still be able to not go right into that, you know, I guess the difference between aggression and assertion, essentially.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is...
So who have an innate understanding of where the line is and a skill set that allows them to walk on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I really want to get a little bit more conversation about the forum, what people can expect at this forum that's coming up, because this is a good point for people to actually talk about a lot of these very issues we've had, but also hear what the CRC has been able to accomplish, whether we like the results or not. And so can you share what people, when it is, and what people can expect, and then also some next steps if people want to have more involvement?
Well, Constantine spoke about the next Rates Talks Forum in partnership with the CRC is going to be tomorrow. The doors open at 6 p.m. The forum will start at 7, and it was at Kennedy School. On Northeast 33rd. The format will be primarily small group, facilitated small group discussions. There will be some presentations at the beginning and opening remarks, but a lot of it will be small groups, so people will get together, talk about issues. The last forum that I was at, which was last year, there were some Bureau members there, citizens, there were CRC members there, people from various community groups. So it was a very helpful discussion. You know, people gave their own personal experiences, mm-hmm. policy suggestions. So a lot of it, you know, we were able to take that as a group, get those notes, get that information together, and see, you know, that helps drive the CRC's agenda for the next year, and IPR as well. They can, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of there that helps us then focus our work, because we can't fix everything. We want to hear what are the major issues that we want to focus on for the next year. What are citizens seeing out there that we can really take action on and dig deeper in some situations and find out more.
And I would just add the forum, you know, we were speaking earlier about needing a law degree to engage with the CRC and our meetings versus the forum. And I think the forum also offers, because it is small group, it is facilitated, because it is at the Kennedy School, it's a great opportunity to have a more structured yet informal way to give input and to be able to have your voice heard. And I, you know, there'll be CRC members there that even in the small group tables, you can always come up and grab us and tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, and it can, I mean, we do have a monthly meeting. The first Wednesday of every month, we have our CRC meetings, and those are publicly announced, and we invite the public to come to those as well. Those can be a little more intimidating for people, and you know, people may have to get transportation there. So we are holding quarterly CRC meetings out in the community as well. So we have been once a quarter holding those in different parts of the city. So you can look on IPR's website for the calendar of our meetings. We invite the public to come. We want to hear from you. We do have people come, you know, and give presentations.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you all.
Rodney, May, and Constantine for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the work you're doing. And we want to encourage everybody who's able to attend the upcoming forum. This has been your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, More Talk Radio. Stay tuned. More news, views, and information you can use here at KBOO Portland.
Interested in solar power? In saving the planet and money on your electricity bill? In creating millions of good jobs? Celebrate the just-completed solar power electricity installation at the Musicians Union Hall on Sunday, August 17th, from 3 to 7 p.m. You'll have a chance to see the rooftop solar unit. Learn about how you can do it on your home or business. There will be food, children's games, displays, and lots of music from the likes of Dave Rovix. Again, that's Sunday, August 17th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Musicians Union Hall, 320 Northeast 20th in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Again, sun is on my face, solar panels in place, catching solar rays.
1.8 million people surrounded on all sides. Refugees since 48, since 67, occupied.
Listen to Labor Radio, Monday, August 11th at 6 p.m. as we interview Michael Letwin from Labor for Palestine.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground.
By keep going.
A mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Hi, folks. This is your old Mole Variety Hour. We are rooting those mountains down, and today the highest and most fearsome mountain, well, it's global warming, dangerous man-made global warming, mostly from burning fossil fuels, which could lead to mass death, even human extinctions. But that's not inevitable, and in fact, global warming could be held to manageable levels by changing our energy system